What is this body? This body is a house I dwell in. Now, in a house, what is more important? The house or the indweller, the one who lives in? As the people who just went through the horrible fire in Southern California are still going through it, when you listen to their TV or radio interviews, they are crying, you know, my house got burned, all my pictures, my memories, my children's photographs. But thank God I'm still alive. Thank God we all got out safely, our whole family. And then there's a message of hope, even because we are okay, we can rebuild. Yes, the house is gone, but I can go and get a loan. I can, you know, rebuild it. So the occupant is more important than the house, even though for us, sometimes the house is so important to take care of the house. But ultimately, we have to realize what is more important. So similarly, in this body that is the house, so the body, just to summarize for anybody who is new, with the body I perceive the objects, with the mind I feel the emotions, with the intellect I think the thoughts, and vasanas are my tendencies, and om is God's presence within. So the body is my home, I live in that. Now who is the indweller in the body? Who is the one that lives in the house? The first is the mind and intellect. Even though it's subtler and outside the body, but it's said to be indweller. It's said to occupy this body and function through this body. So the body is less important. The mind and intellect are more important. People say, take care of the body and I will be happy, the mind will be happy. No, it's the other way around. Take care of your mind and intellect and the body automatically will become healthy. If you're mentally calm, if you're happy, if you're peaceful, if you have the right knowledge, the body automatically follows. So the mind and intellect is more important than the body. And so it is very important for us to take care of our emotions, have positive emotions, have the right ideas, and nourish our mind and intellect. We need to take care of the body, but do not spend too much time on the body, beautifying it, nourishing it, fattening it, getting plastic surgery. Spend more time in my mind, positive emotions, and my intellect, positive ideas. But who is the ultimate indweller? Ultimate indweller, of course, is Atma, the consciousness represented by Om, God's presence. And even though Atma is all over, it is said to be inside and outside the body. So Atma, the consciousness, the Lord within, is the ultimate indweller. And that's the one that is most important. That is the one that we need to know in our meditation, in our study. Who am I really? What is my higher nature? That is Om, Atma, consciousness. That is what I really am. And Krishna in the second chapter, Bhagavan in his reply to Arjuna has told us that this Atma, this consciousness is immortal. It never perishes. It's never born. It never dies. It never modifies, does not go through all the modifications that we go through. And it cannot be killed and it does not kill. The Lord or the consciousness does not do anything, provides energy. It's up to us what we do. So to think that Krishna, Bhagavan says that you will be killed, I will be killed, or all these people will be killed is foolish because we are all immortal. We were never born and we will never die. That is the highest understanding of the Upanishads. But Arjuna says, to me that's too difficult. You know, you're straight away talking Upanishad. This is the second chapter. It's just the beginning of the teaching. You know, come down to a basic level. I think people are born and they perish. Okay, Bhagavan says, if people are born and perish, then again, what is to mourn about? Somebody who is born will die. And once he dies, he will be born again. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu dhruva janma mrityasya tatrak aparihare arte natvam shochitum arhasi. If it is inevitable, death is inevitable, it is the inevitable result of birth, then again, what is there to mourn about? What is there to be sorrowful? So this is what we have done so far. And this verse, the 28th verse, Bhagavan will continue the same idea and kind of summarize it and then move on to a beautiful idea in the 29th verse, which we'll talk about is why this knowledge seems so difficult. to get. So we'll talk about that. So 28 is short. It will just summarize what we have studied so far. So let's do verse number 28. Avyaktadini bhutani.
Avyaktadini bhutani.
Vyakta madhyani bharata.
Vyakta madhyani bharata.
Avyakta nidhananyeva.
Avyakta nidhananyeva.
Tatra kapari devana.
Tatra kapari devana.
So avyakt, unmanifest, adini. Adini means in the beginning, bhutani. Bhutani means all beings. Bhuta means all beings, plants, animals, birds, fish, humans, all beings in the beginning were unmanifest. Vyakta madhyani bharata. Madhyani, in the middle, vyakta, they become manifest. So first they were unmanifest, then they become manifest. O Bharata, O Arjuna. Why does he say, call him Bharata? One was, of course, he belonged to the Bharata dynasty, but here he is using the word Bharata with a particular meaning. What is meaning of Bharata? Sanskrit meaning Bhayam Rataha. Bhaya means knowledge. Rataha means one who revels in knowledge. He says, your name is Bharata. You should have this knowledge. Why are you mourning over this? This knowledge is something you should always have had, because Arjuna had studied. You know, Bhishma Pitama had made sure that all the acharyas and teachers came, and the Pandavas and Kauravas had all the education of our scriptures. Not only warfare, how to be kings, but how to, you know, economics, politics, everything had been taught to them. He says, O Bharata, you should already know it. In the beginning, everything is unmanifest. In the middle, it becomes manifest. Avyakta nidhanani eva. So nidhanani, at the time of, at the end, it becomes avyakta eva. Tatra ka paridevana, that's then, why should there be any sorrow, mourning? So everything was unmanifest in the beginning, became manifest, and then became unmanifest. So avyat adini, bhutani, madhyani, nidhanani. These are not Sindhi last names. This is these are the words that Bhagwan is using. You might think, oh, he's talking about, no. So he says, so like we all, you know, before we entered our mother's womb, we were unmanifest. And then you enter the mother's womb, you appear on the earth, you become manifest. And everybody celebrates, a new baby is born. And then after a certain number of years, whatever our lifespan is, could be 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, or even 15, 20 years. Some people become so at the time of death, then we become unmanifest. So unmanifest, manifest, and again unmanifest. And that is the nature of the whole universe. So it says this whole universe is cause and effect. So there is a cause and there is an effect. Like there is a mud. From the mud you make a pot. So mud is the cause, pot is the effect. Now mud is already in the pot. Effect cannot be separate from the cause. That's what Gurudev says. Every effect is cause with name and form. So there was mud. So it has a name and form. Pot or a cup, or a saucer, or a jug. So these are all names and forms, but the cause is mud. So the pot emerges from mud. So mud is the cause. It is unmanifest in the mud. And then the potter takes and makes a pot. And then after some time, the pot falls and breaks. Then again, it goes back into mud. So from unmanifest, it came and went back into manifest, like gold. Ornament is made from gold by the goldsmith, and then the lady buys it, and after some time she doesn't like it, it's old fashioned. So she goes back and tells him to melt it, and so he melts it and goes back into gold and then gives her the gold. Or from that gold he creates a new ornament. So from unmanifest, the ornament became manifest, again unmanifest into gold, and again. So we all have appeared from, no, see, people think we have appeared from nowhere. You know, the charvakas, the materialists say, this God and all is nonsense. There's no such thing as God and heaven and hell. This earth is the one place you have come. Enjoy life. Why are you wasting your time? No, there isn't consciousness or God or whatever you want to call, who is unmanifest. From the unmanifest, we appeared. and then after death we go back to that. So just as mud is in the pot and pot is nothing but mud with name and form, so we, as we appeared from God, we are nothing but God with name and form. The essential divinity in us is the same. We all have that divinity, but with a name and form. And we think we are human and we are limited and male and female. That is okay for Vyavahar to function in the world. You have to know that. Actually, I was with Swami Tejomayanandaji and I was asking him about my spiritual progress. So he gave a very beautiful answer. He says, spiritual progress is doing and being. So doing is whatever you're doing. You know, you are reading, you are meditating, you are praying, you are going to the church or temple, you are doing service, you are helping people. That all comes in doing. And then there is being. Being means that understanding of what I am. And he says in being also there are two components. One is the absolute essence of the Upanishad, that I am that Satchidanand Brahman, I am that Om, that consciousness. So that is an understanding. But when you are working in the world, you work as the BMI, that I am the servant of the Lord. So don't start thinking I am God and I am immortal, I am Brahman. Yes, that is an understanding in the back of your mind. But when I'm working in the world, like when I'm speaking right now, I should be thinking it's Krishna who is speaking through me. I am his servant. If I start thinking I know so much and all these, you know, people are ignorant and I am educating them, then what all that will do is fatten my ego. So whatever activity I'm doing in the world, work as a servant of the Lord. Lord has placed me here, and whatever job I'm doing, whether I'm cooking, whether I'm cleaning the dishes, whether I'm vacuuming the floor, whether I'm taking care of my patients or my students or my clients or at work, wherever I am, the Lord has placed me and I'm a humble servant. But inside I know that I am immortal and nothing can affect me. I will never die. So that understanding should be there at the back of the mind. You cannot express it. You cannot go around telling people, I am immortal, I am Satchidanand. No, I am Anil or Satish. That is my name. I am Barbara. I am here to serve you and I am here to do my best. So that should be the understanding. So it's a very subtle thinking. So I was so inspired by this message of Guruji. So the point is that the world is cause and effect, manifest and unmanifest. And it's not the first creation. It's not the first time this world came into being. We say, oh, you know, this earth is so unique. There's nothing unique about it. There are millions of such earths. There are all over the universe. There are so many stars and there are so many planets, and there's bound to be life. We are not the only, you know, planet suddenly where life appeared. And this is not the first creation. Creation is happening for anadi, all in limitless time, endless. We don't know how many. This may be the 10th creation or the 15th or the 20th or the 100th. Worlds are created, perished, created, perished. That Om, that Atman, the consciousness remains the same. And we think we are unique. Like in the class, if you remember, you know, people will say, our class was the best, you know, in school or college. We were the best students. Or some people will say, you know, our class knew how to have fun. We had the most fun. You guys, the seniors, you guys didn't know anything. And your junior will say, you guys didn't know anything. We had the best fun. So we all think that we are unique, but there is nothing unique. Everything has happened many times before, deja vu. So I do not become arrogant. I know that there is a Lord, a creator who has created me, and at time I will perish. So there is nothing to moan about. It's like a seed we talked about last week. There is a mango seed, and where the tree is unmanifest in the seed. So you put the seed in the ground, give it water, give it fertilizer, and slowly a mango tree comes up. So that becomes manifest. And after a while, the tree gets old and gets cut down. But in the meantime, it has created so many mangoes and so many seeds. So the tree becomes the seed from this. I'm sorry, the seed becomes the tree. From the tree, another seed is created that goes in the ground, another tree. So seed to tree to seed to tree. So this constant change is going on, constant birth, death, And again, this is not our first life. If this body we drop, this mind and intellect, we'll go get a new body and you will continue your journey. So point is that death is not something to be grieved about, not something to be mourned about. I think we have covered it in detail. If anybody has a quick question, otherwise we'll move on. Last week we had done a lot of detail on this, but anybody has any more questions? Okay, so we'll move on. So Arjuna seems to be a little confused, as we all are. I don't know, it's not that simple. See, because this is the first time in the second chapter that Bhagavan has told us that you are not this body, you are the Atma. You are the soul consciousness occupying this body. And all along we had heard that I am this body, I am this body, ever since I was a protozoa and then I became a fish and a bird and an animal and a plant and a human, I all the time thought I am this body. And so this idea is not very easy to get. And why is that not easy? Why is it seem so difficult? And why am I not able to hear, I listen, I say I am the Atma, the consciousness, but the moment I go out, and I have a back pain or my knee hurts or my foot hurts or I twist my ankle, I start thinking, oh, I'm so hurtful, my body is hurting or I'm sick. So immediately body identification comes very quickly. Or as I'm getting old, you know, all the illnesses of old age come, arthritis and back pain and high blood pressure and cholesterol and arrhythmia. Then again, the body identification becomes strong. So why is it so difficult? So Bhagavan answers it. This next verse is so beautiful that we'll spend quite a bit of time in it today. And then the 30th verse again is very short. So we'll do the 29th verse, which is here. I used more space.